talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you from Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, and in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was plenty of it made last night. Here's what's happening. Let's start with today. Today is the anniversary, January 6th, the insurrection, a year ago. Donald Trump and his running dogs and fellow travelers, Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Don Trump Jr., Mo Brooks, and a lot of them got up. Mo Brooks wore a bulletproof vest. He said he didn't anticipate any trouble at all. It was just a bunch of fellas walking up to the Capitol, and he wore a bulletproof vest. They all lied in their speech. They said the election had been stolen. They lathered up the crowd, and the crowd went up there. It was a year ago. I remember watching it on television a year ago. The truth was that, Raskin, congressman from Maryland, just published in his book Unthinkable, there were three rings of these people. The one you saw on television, you know, these were the rioters. They went up there. They were misled by Trump. They thought it had been stolen, and they thought that Trump was going to lead them. He said he'd lead them. I'm going to come on up with me. He's the commander in chief of the military. If the top general and admiral rolled into one, says, follow me into combat, you're going to go. I would go back when I was young, when I was in the Navy. Lieutenant J.G., the admiral in charge of the Second Fleet, which was the fleet that guards the Atlantic coast of the United States. The even fleets are on the Atlantic side. The odd-numbered fleets are on the Pacific side. So the Third Fleet guards the Pacific coast. We were being deployed to the Mediterranean, which is the Sixth Fleet. And he came into the wardroom, and he pulled out a chart, and he just put a pencil and stuck it on the chart. He said, I want you to be there on Christmas Eve. This was in the Mediterranean at noon their time. And then he left. And you know what? Nobody said, why do you want us to go there? It's Christmas Eve. Why should we go there? That pencil point on a chart is about 10 miles. Where within the 10 miles do you want us to be? What is our? He didn't say any of that. He said, yes, sir. And obviously the captain talked to him and got our mission statement. So these guys were all there. Some of them were retired military or former military. And commander-in-chief said, let's go on up. Okay, they go on up. That's the first ring. The second ring were people who absolutely wanted to stop the counting of the vote. They had a tactical and strategic reason for doing this. They marched in military formation. This had been cooked up in advance. There's a group of them at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you've ever been to the Willard Hotel. I have. At a meeting, it's a great place, beautiful, historic, goes back to the 19th century. And these characters, you could see them. They were disciplined, marching in military formation, and they had a purpose other than just following Donald Trump. But the inner ring and the ones at the Willard in the command room that Trump called the morning of the insurrection, the inner ring, were the ones who were plotting a coup. It was not enough that somehow they momentarily disrupt the counting of the electoral votes, which is really a ceremonial function of Congress and the vice president that day. They wanted to reverse the election, and they had a plan, and their plan was this. Pence was going to say, I'll accept the electoral votes of 44 states. But in the states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona, there is credible evidence of fraud. So I'm sending those back to the state legislatures to decide who the electors are. pass the buck. The state legislatures were all corrupt, gerrymandered, crooked Republican majorities, just like we have here in Wisconsin. They did not reflect the will of the people. And they would have come up with all Trump electors for those seats. And it would be Trump that would have gotten 300 some odd electoral votes. And Joe Biden would have fallen short. Then, of course, there'd be lawsuits. Lawsuits take a long time. There are appeals. There are six Republicans on the Supreme Court. And too bad, so sad. Somehow they would have pulled off a slipknot, a coup, and kept Trump and Pence in for four more years. That was the plan. Pence, as you recall, called Dan Quayle because he got cold feet. Dan Quayle said, "Are you out of your mind?" Now, Dan Quayle, he was George H.W. Bush's vice president. He was routinely criticized for being dumber than a bag of rocks, but I don't think he is or was. And nobody becomes vice president or president who's dumber than a bag of rocks. And he said, "Look, that's ridiculous. You think you're going to announce that you are now the elected vice president when you lost? No way, Jose." And then Pence chickened out. Crooked William Barr chickened out even earlier than that. You remember he resigned at the end of December, just before, 20 days before Biden was going to be sworn in. He saw what was coming. He's a lawyer, and he did a lot of crooked things for Donald Trump. He lied about the Mueller report. You see, he described the Mueller report as no big deal. Mueller was a lily-livered son of a gun. A Republican himself deliberately didn't look into financial bribery of Trump by the commie Ruskies. Nah, they're not commie Ruskies. They're organized crime Ruskies. Now they used to be crime Ruskies. Look, the truth is Putin was a colonel in the KGB. He was a colonel in the KGB. His nickname was the Moth. He still has those instincts. Don't give me that. You say, "Oh, he's only an organized criminal." Well, he was, and he was an organized criminal when he was in the KGB, and he still is. In any event, Crooked William Barr snuck out into the night, a rat. He ran down the gangplank and got ashore. So that is what happened. Now, it's a year later. Joe Biden is going to give an address to the country, and I'm really glad he's doing it. Merrick Garland is too. Merrick Garland is going to describe the prosecutions. About 700 rioters have been charged. There are many more that participated. They're trying to identify them all from social media, Facebook, etc. A lot of them boast about what they did. Remember the QAnon shaman even put on horns and fur, bare chest and war paint. And, you know, you couldn't be more obvious than that. So there's other guys that weren't quite that obvious trying to get. We're trying to get him. Biden's speech is going to be the more important, the most important of the day. And Biden, we don't know exactly what he'll end up saying, but in some drafts people have seen, he's going to call on people to reject the lies that have been said about the election and to live by the light of truth. Now, the question is, does he mention Trump in this other than obliquely? Who's been spreading the lies? Trump. Who is obscuring the light of truth? Trump. He may very well mention Donald Trump. Here's the pro and con of that. You know very well who he's talking about, what he's talking about. When an incoming president attacks a criminal outgoing president, it's certainly the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do, and he should do it. But in Africa, in Asia, in communist countries, North Korea, China, Venezuela, Cuba, in jihadist countries, which is much the Islamic world, in Asia and Northern Africa, parts of Africa, it's fairly routine for the incoming guy to say that the outgoing guy was a crook, sometimes hanging him or trying him, and you don't want to give that impression. Here it would be justified. But the tactical question I think Biden has to wrestle with is it sufficient to blast what's occurring without naming the perpetrator? I'll tell you what, the January 6th Commission is naming the perpetrator. The word is that they will refer him for criminal prosecution to Merrick Garland. And Merrick Garland is going to have to decide whether to prosecute him. Letitia James, I think, in New York, has to decide whether she's the attorney general, whether to prosecute him criminally or him and his whole family for tax fraud and real estate fraud civilly, getting judgments against them that are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. I mean, these are a lot of weighty prosecutorial decisions that have to be made. My judgment call on this is that Merrick Garland should prosecute Trump criminally. He called up Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia, and said, forge 11,580 votes. And if you don't, you will, you very, very well face criminal prosecution. Kanye West sent his publicist down in Georgia to scare an elderly woman and her daughter, who are simply poll workers, said that she might face criminal prosecution. Kanye West should be brought before a grand jury. And if they can prove that he told the publicist to do that, he should be prosecuted for extortion. There's a crime called extortion. There's also a crime fomenting insurrection, and Trump certainly did that. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.